special education, just get on board.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Sponsored by the TBI, Survivors Network at tbisn.com.
All survivors, all the time. For automatic updates and everything brain injury.
Join now at tbisn.com.
The only all survivor and family network in the world.
You don't need no fancy certification, just get on board.
And now it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Found at braininjuryradio.com.
Welcome to our Christmas special with Kim Jocko
on Recovery Now, sponsored by Lash Publishing.
Find our gracious sponsor, Lash Publishing, at www.lapublishing.com.
So have you been naughty or nice this year? Come on, be honest, Kim. Our host will know.
Way more frickin' insightful than Santa, more passionate than Rudolph. It's our host us, with the most us, Kim, queen of Christmas music, just us.
Welcome to our Christmas special with Kim Justus.
Recovery Now, sponsored by Lash Publishing.
Find our gracious sponsor, Lash Publishing, at www.lapublishing.com.
Okay, is it my turn yet? That was pretty awesome. I can buy a little
I need someone to love. Could it be anybody?
Time for another edition of Brain Injury Radio Programming, featuring Recovery Now, sponsored by Lash Publishing, with your hostess, Spectacular, the one, the only, Kim Justice, Kim Justice, Justice, Kim Justice, Kim Justice, Kim Justice.
Thank God. I was getting by with a little help from my friends. That's a, we'll give it double insane with pain tonight. That was pretty cool. Thank you, Craig, and insane guy. I'll put you back on. Merry Christmas, everybody. This is, as you heard over and over, Kim Justice, somewhere in Middle America. Here on Brain Injury Radio, wishing you all a Merry Christmas tonight. And the name of the show, as you heard, was Have You Been Naughty or Nice? And the truth of the matter is, all of us are probably a composite of a little bit of both over a year's time. But tonight, talk a little bit about, well, a lot of things. I've got a lot of material here, and you can throw a dart and pick one of these topics. Or we'll also have open mics and play Christmas music. But let's see. The first thing I wanted to do was let you know that a race car is going down the street. Somebody had a little too much Christmas toddy, I think. Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week. All of these shows that are recorded live are available almost immediately after in the archive for on-demand listening, so you never need to be alone. Like the intro said, we get by with a little help from our friends, and like I always say, tongue-in-cheek, took me 17 years writing a book and becoming a radio host to meet another survivor and find out that I'm not alone in my brain injury. And it's been a heck of a ride the last, we keep saying 15 months, it's probably about 17 or 18 by now, but in any case, it's just been a really wonderful experience to be with everybody here, and I appreciate your support, as does Brain Injury Radio. We're really happy about our new earlier platform. Lori Purdy Fatel was just on with a great show, and more of those slots are getting filled every day. So we're hoping that's going to be all done. Our peer-to-peer support line, also hoping to have that grow. I believe the time is from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. The 4-PEER-1-1 support line number is ringing into the show. And prior to that, I guess I don't have the number with me, but, and I will put the website in here, the number 4-PEER-1-1.org. That will tell you about the peer-to-peer support line. And obviously, with the experience that I had all those years, I am a huge believer in peer-to-peer support. I just think that's a fundamental element of recovery of any kind, that, again, you're going to have a combination of arrows in your quiver that are going to help you through the process of recovery. There's no one magic bullet. It's usually a combination, and our own combination, the things that work for us today, might not be the same things that work for us a year from now. As we grow and change, the people around us and the circumstances grow and change, we always are evolving, as are our tools of recovery. But one thing, whether it's traditional medicine, alternative medicine, oming, soming, whatever you're doing out there, peer-to-peer support and a little help from your friends is elemental to recovery. It's the only place you can go and find others who can relate, where you can identify, where you can have a choice. And I realize that support groups and peer-to-peer support is not for everybody, but what's important to me is that everybody have a choice. And if their choice is to not be alone and to reach out and learn and hear from others who have walked down the trail to make their path a little easier, then I want to be here for that. And I'm very blessed to have gotten the opportunity that Craig gave me a long time ago to be on air and to get to try this venue as a means of support and finally meet some survivors, for gosh sake. And now get to spend Christmas. I was here this year, I think, Halloween, Giving, Christmas, and we'll be here again on New Year's. And I know that those were times for me. I spent a lot of time single, and after my brain injury, after a brief marriage in between, and holidays, even though I had family, I would feel lonely because I would feel different. Part of that difference was some of the things that many of you out there have been experiencing, possibly since Thanksgiving, most probably in the last 24 hours, and that's a feeling of rush, some sensory overload from all of the voices and the movement and the lights flashing and the wrapping paper flying and all the food and the sights and the smells and just the things that are outside of our normal routine, whether it was not one of your favorite holiday, you know, not one of your favorite Christmases, or whether it was one of your favorite Christmases. It takes energy to work out our senses. And when we're in sensory overload, a lot of fatigue can come from that. And so I know that there's a lot of you out there that are probably really tired tonight. And so we're going to do a little talking. I'll play some Christmas carols. I want to talk a little bit about stress around the holidays. And then I want to talk about a couple of miracles that I think are pretty awesome that have happened since I've gotten to be part of Brain Injury Radio. And one of them, and I'm going to wait just a little while to talk about it, is something that a chain of us from, well, including my husband, I call him my producer, Gary, but a chain of us from Brain Injury Radio and my husband have worked tirelessly on for the last week to try to make a Christmas dream come true, and I believe that we did. I read a comment earlier and have a feeling I will probably be getting a call. So one of the things I'd like to start with tonight is a couple of quotes about Christmas. Could you have guessed? There's a quote for everything, isn't there? I have always thought of Christmas time when it comes around. Coverage. I guess it didn't like that quote. Sorry about that, everybody. Blog Talk Radio, our favorite provider, they left for the holidays and took their unusually bad service with them. So no Christmas presents from Blog Talk Radio, but assumedly a big A piece of coal in their sock. At least that would be my gift to them. So, since I was talking about forgiveness, let's try this again. I've always thought of Christmas time when it has come around as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below them as if they were really fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. Charles Dickens. Thought I'd talk a little bit about my Christmas, and hopefully that'll give some people time to find their way back into the studio here, and we won't have any further problems. Cross your fingers, everybody. Christmas this year. Very interesting. For one thing, I don't know if it was something about this year or something about getting older, but it has seemed like from Halloween until now has flown about 180 miles an hour. And I don't know if that's about being very busy or just I don't know. Like, did they change the amount of weeks on the calendar or something? I know I've been so busy, I just haven't hardly caught on. I didn't start buying presents. I used to be one of those really anal people that would have things all done by Thanksgiving. And this year I wasn't very good about getting out but a couple of cards to the family. Didn't start shopping until 3 weeks before Christmas, and I did it online. I think this is the least amount of time that I've ever been to the mall. And I was going to share, some of you heard this already, but the first two gifts that I got, that I received in the mail, happened to be, unfortunately, for my dad. And I say unfortunately, each year for my Nana and my mom and my daughter-in-law, I make a and my husband, I make a personalized calendar. For those of you that know me, you know I take a lot of pictures. And I will mention that if you are on the computer tonight and you're watching all of those pictures scrolling across the page, any of them that I'm not in or that aren't company logo are photographs that I've taken. That's a hobby of mine, and I put quite a few of them on there tonight. There's a gentleman on there. That's one of the miracles we'll talk about earlier. But the rest of those pictures are pictures that I've taken. And so this year, I forgot my point. Oh, little time for cards. Oh, the shopping, the two gifts. Okay, just give me time to come back. It's been a long 48 hours. The gifts for my father. The people that I mentioned to you first, that first group, really like wall calendars. And so I go through all of the zillion trillion pictures I take over a year's time, and I find the ones that I think are going to be special to each one of those individuals. And my dad is the one who likes a desk calendar. So I know you all have an imagination out there. Picture a desk calendar. Just take a couple of minutes to picture your average desk calendar and what that looks like. Got it? Okay. So the desk calendar came to me, and I thought it was a wall calendar at first, and then I folded it like the little tent, and I said, good God, you could park a smart car in this thing. Who the heck has a desk that big? Very nice quality paper and pictures, but I'm not quite sure whose desk that would fit on. Maybe King Henry's banquet table, but it is a big desk calendar. And I guess I can mention their name. It's a lovely calendar, but they do only offer one size, so this didn't happen to be my error. But Shutterfly has some nice, really big desk calendars that might not be exactly what you had had in mind, but a wonderful quality product. That took me back a little bit. And then a few days later, it was kind of funny that you guys have probably seen those as seen on TV things. I know there's probably a couple like, I won't mention our Shopaholic Tuesday host, although I usually catch him out and about, so I don't know if he's so bad on the internet, but all those seen on TV things, right? A lot of you have seen the pajama jeans, and so I had decided to order a pair for Dad and Gary for Christmas. And it was pretty funny because one day I saw the UPS man pulling up in front of the house, coming toward the front door, and Gary had just pulled in, was in the process of pulling in the garage and going to be coming in the house from that door, from the garage door. I grabbed the package from the UPS man, and with other packages, I had been taking them down to the basement and hiding them where our four dogs don't go. But on this particular thing, it was split-second timing. I mean, the minute I opened the door, grabbed that product, and it was in one of those envelopes you could never open. You know what I mean? They're made of, like, plastic or something, and you cannot open those suckers without some big scissors. Anyway, I got that package. I grabbed it, and I stashed it And to this day, I can't tell you where. It was probably, I was near the kitchen, so I probably shoved it between the fridge and the wall or something. But anyway, Gary came in the door, and whew, I had just stashed that gift away. And then I forgot, as a lot of us do in this community. And a couple of days later, I was coming into the house and coming down the hall, and there were 5 billion, the size of pinhead, little styrofoam balls going up the hall, and fragments of clear plastic. And then I made it to the office, and there was that big gray envelope that nobody can open was laying on the office floor. And up on the Chase Lounge, for those of you who know Libby, our youngest dog who just turned one, full of piss and vinegar she is, Libby, up on the Chase Lounge, with a pair of those jeans cupped in her hands, chewing on them. No! I went running over and grabbed those jeans, asked her, what are you, nuts? And I looked at the jeans, and I'm trying to get the dog spit and the hair off them, and I'm wondering, you know, how I can make these look like they're brand new. Obviously, it's shot. There's no way I'm going to get these things back into the bag, so my mind is going like, big Ziploc bag, will he buy that? No. And as I'm straightening the jeans out and knocking off the hair, I notice a big hole in the back pocket of the jeans. And so now I've got 2 gifts, and one is a desk calendar for Dad that he could park a smart car in, and a pair of pajama jeans that were customized by Libby with a big hole on his left butt cheek. So it was, those jeans were from Libby. Gary and I didn't take credit for that. And so at that point, I was afraid that Christmas was off to kind of a rocky start. I think these things are funny now, but I was running late, and I didn't think they were all that funny back when they were happening, that's for sure, because I was running late. And I've said before that my 93-year-old Nana, who we were blessed to be able to have at Christmas this year and Thanksgiving, she's had a really tough year, and in fact, it's been a tough year altogether. My dad, as some of you know, has Parkinson's disease. Earlier in the year, he had back surgery, and so a lot of running around and hospital visits and caregiving and things around that, worry, fear, faith, you know, a lot of mixed emotions going on around that back in March. And then my Nana in April moved into an independent living facility and has managed to be in and out of the hospital 3 or 4 times since then. And it started with falling and breaking her collarbone. And then one thing led to another. So she spent a couple of months in her new independent living apartment and has been in a skilled care facility. And we're still hoping that just after the first, she will be able to go back to her independent living apartment with a little additional help and have her privacy and her things and her apartment back. But it's been tough, you know, it's been tough because all of us here in the audience, whether you're a caregiver or a survivor, know that there's no guarantees. We get up in the morning and we start going about our business, but somewhere in the back of our mind, all of us are painfully aware that we might not be there at the end of the day because, as my book said, in a flash, things can happen that are going to change your life forever and the lives of those around you. And so this year, I'm grateful. I said before, so I won't prolong it for those of you who have heard this before, but I've been really lucky. I'm 54, and we've celebrated with my mom's family since I was born. And so the core group of people at our Christmas celebration has been the same for 54 years until my grandpa passed away in the early 80s. That made a profound change for a couple of years. He was the patriarch Italian of the family, and I thought really the glue that kept things together, but there was a lot of determination in this Irish-Italian family. The Italians we celebrate with, and I've got a funny thing to tell you in a little while about odd holiday habits in different countries. But in any case, I was afraid this year. You know, last year, my mom and dad have a big house, and it's where we've always celebrated on Christmas Eve, the extended family holiday. And then I, who cook about twice a year, I could never be mistaken for Martha Stewart. I do Easter and Christmas and have my parents over. And so they were over here today. So we did extended family last night. Gary and I kind of did our thing in between, and the dogs and the bird this morning, and then my parents over today and tonight to the show. And I couldn't help but feel a lot of gratitude. Back at Thanksgiving, I was feeling, well, maybe a little bit of a pity party, maybe fear, just those feelings that start bouncing around sometimes a lot for those of us who have had a brain injury. And that volume can be turned up around the holidays or any time that we're thrown off our routine. I thought last year, as I was sitting in my folks' house, they were going to be downsizing, and that last year would be the last summer, or excuse me, summer on my mind, I wish, colder than heck here in middle America, that would be the last year at their house. And I had a feeling, like I hear over and over, that when those big groups, the integral people, the grandparents, you know, when they're not there, then the little families kind of start breaking up and spreading off on their own, and then traditions change. But traditions were always very important to my grandpa, and those traditions stayed with the rest of us. And so for all of these years, we've kept those together. And I have a lot of gratitude to God today that from Thanksgiving to last night, we got one more year. 93-year-old Nana made it to Thanksgiving and Christmas to be with the family, which was wonderful. And Mom and Dad's house looked as good as ever, and it was one of the holidays that I've come to appreciate more and more and not take for granted at all the way I used to. So it was pretty awesome last night, although it was a little different. For a couple days before that, I wasn't feeling very well, and I thought maybe I was getting a bladder infection or something. I don't know if any of you guys ever do this, but I was trying to just kick back. It was about 5 below here, and I didn't feel good. I didn't have any place I had to be. I had some wrapping and stuff around the house I had to do. So I just stayed in. I felt really bad, but I didn't want to go to a doctor. I didn't want to go out of the house. It was so dang cold, and I was wishing it away. I don't know if you've ever taken any of your brain injury symptoms at any point in your recovery and wished them away, or any other illness or malady that you might have bumped up against, and just thought if you don't think about it and you wish it away, all of a sudden it'll be away. Well, that didn't work. The third day was yesterday, and I thought, you know what I don't want to get caught doing is being in an emergency room at midnight on Christmas. So I went in the afternoon yesterday before we went to my folks, and the good news, I guess, is that it's not that kind of infection that an antibiotic will help, but more than less a assist. And I've had that issue a couple of times where they've exploded. And I hate it when things explode in my body. You know, another thing about this time of year, and I'll be probably talking about it more on New Year's next week, next Wednesday, because it's a little bit closer, and when we hit January and the rush of the holidays is over, that's when I kind of start feeling the creeps along with my gratitude, because it was January 9th of 1995 when my head exploded. My aneurysm in my head that I didn't know I had ruptured, and that was my game changer day. January 9th of 1995, and here in Middle America, it is usually freezing with a lot of snow at the beginning of January, and it is so cold and brisk that it is downright brittle when you walk outside. Feels like you could almost snap your finger off or snap your hair off. It's very uncomfortable. Walk around with your shoulders up around your ears, and if you've got any pain problems, they're accentuated, and the barometric pressure's all over the map. And, you know, it's just not a very good time of year, and that experience made it a time of year I really don't like. So, again, I'm grateful it was after the holidays. You know, the holidays of 1994 were spectacular, and I had no way of knowing during that holiday gathering that, what, within 3 weeks I was going to be dying, or the fear that I was going to be dying, the prognosis that I was going to be dying. Who'd have thunk it? And so I sit here today grateful that the holiday season has gone the way it has. And even though I've been feeling a little rough, life's not perfect, is it? there's the good with the bad, heads with the tail, black with the white. Not everything is cut and dry. So I just took a handful of Advil and put on my happy face, and I thought, okay, probably a cyst on my ovary, very uncomfortable, not pain, but just very uncomfortable, and going into crowd. You know, and I've become more aware because of my dad's condition and my Nana's condition. I have problems with vertigo from my brain injury and something I would call dizziness when I'm at the top of a flight of stairs or an escalator or in an elevator. If I ride in the back of a car, there's a whole list, laundry list of things that make me feel kind of sick. And I got more claustrophobic about crowds after my brain injury. And part of that was fear of getting bumped and falling, fear of somebody elbowing me in the head or doing anything that would touch my head. You know, I'm short. I'm 5'2". So in a crowd, almost everybody's taller than me, and, you know, people are swinging their arms around, and they're festive, and you know, they're doing the deal. And so I have to admit that, you know, where crowds are concerned, for me right now, it's not as much about falling as it was in my early days. But I do, because of that experience, have the empathy for my grandma and my dad. But for me, It's more just the sensory overload, trying to track 6 different conversations going on at once and trying to follow, you know, just follow what's going on. And so I avoided a lot of crowds this year. And last night I was just kind of sitting off, spacing off a couple of times. And mostly thinking about my dad and my grandma, watching the grandkids enjoy the holidays. There was a long time we didn't have any small humans in our family. I was the only grandchild for 18 years. Boy, was I lucky. And then my three cousins came along, and they're in their 30s now. And it took that much longer for little Jaden and Aubrey to come along, who are 4 and 7. And you kind of get that sense of wonder and that joy that only children can exhibit on Christmas. And it makes you wonder, you know, as you get older. I've heard a lot of people talk on the show about not liking Christmas or actually hating this time of year. And I've felt that loneliness before, alone, by myself, in a crowd. Certainly felt that. Felt my remorse, regret, nostalgia, as well as the joy and the wonder. But, you know, you start growing up and reality starts slapping you in the face. And you have a couple bad experiences around the holidays, and then they're tainted. And you sit there and look at a little child who's not there yet. And you thank God for however many years they're going to have where they don't have to have that reality that I've heard a lot of us talk about, because it is pure and simple joy. It's about Santa. It's about Jesus. It's about whoever their family sees as their higher power. It's about family, friends, forgiveness, toys, fun. Not adjectives I've heard a lot of people describe around here sometimes, and I know why. I understand why. But it was a joy to just sit and take it in last night and today when my folks came over. And even watching the dogs. I told you a little bit about Libby, but Benny, he's my Frenchie, and he's funny. You know, the dogs all had sacks with toys in them, 4 different sacks. Of course, Libby doesn't want to share. She wanted them all. Poor Benny. I've got a picture posted on my Facebook timeline. For those of you that see it, there's a lot of pictures, but one of them is Benny half in and half out of a holiday sack. And what that was about, Benny has never been the sharpest tool in the shed. And sometimes I wonder if maybe he didn't have a little trouble coming through the birth canal. God bless him. He's the sweetest boy ever. But there were toys in the tissue paper in the bag. And Benny kept finding the bag and the tissue paper and not zeroing in on the toys that were wrapped in the tissue paper. And so Libby would run by him 100 miles an hour, grab the toy, and Benny would just sit there with his tongue half in, half out of his mouth, and that pathetic look on his face like, well, I didn't even have a chance to get that toy. When truly he had had half of his body in the sack rummaging around and never came out with the toy, only came out with the paper. So I don't know. That happens to all of us, I think, sometimes. It kind of reminded me of some of my own behaviors where my intent doesn't match my action or my outcome. So, in any case, I laughed because a minute ago I took a picture, and then I'm going to move on with the show, and was winding up with my family today knowing I had the show tonight. And Gary got some, now we're Bose buddies. We got into this techno phase, speaking of shopaholics, a while back, and I got a pair of Bose wireless headset. And so I listen to tunes on my iPad, and I fall asleep by the fire a lot out in the living room on the couch. And I keep telling Gary when he wakes up at 4 in the morning, him and the roosters, man. And he kind of nudges me tells me to go into bed, or, you know, you want to go into bed. And I kind of get up and stumble and go into bed. But I just get so cozy laying on the couch in front of the fire, listening to all the cool music. And it's really neat. And so this Christmas, I got him Nell Blunt Squad Radio. My husband's name is Gary, and I'm sorry for anybody new out there. I'm talking about my husband, Gary. But he got, this year he got a set of those headphones. And so the last picture I clicked and put on Facebook before I ran here to sign in was him laying on the couch, crashed, with his headset on, listening to holiday music. The dogs, who have been wild all day fighting over those toys, three of them crashed completely. One of them even snoring, Benny snoring. He snores louder than a chainsaw. And, of course, Libby. Yeah, she had some gas left for that bone, that new bone of hers. And so everybody is crashed in the house. Not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse, just me and Libby tonight. But it's been a great holiday, and I hope that it has been for you too. That even if things on any given day, you know, one of the things I learned through the process of my recovery, and I've recovered from a couple things in my life, but one of the things I learned is that if something was going wrong in one compartment of my life, I had a tendency at one time to paint my whole life with a broad brush, because this little drawer was going not the way I wanted it, then the whole dresser stunk. You know, one little piece of the pie of my life not going my way, so throw out the whole thing. And what I learned, what I've learned over the years, is that choice and attitude have so much to do with how we proceed in our lives. And that I can make a couple things. First of all, I can distinguish now that, well, let's use an old days example, that if something was going bad at work, it didn't mean my whole life stunk. It meant simply things weren't going well at work. But things could go okay in my home life, in my relationships, in my flower garden, in all these other places, if I would allow it and let it be and take it in and recognize that it's just one thing I'm having an issue with. And it's not the hill I want to die on. Deal with it, dump it, let it go. Or if I need to hang on to it, understand that it is one needle in the haystack. It ain't the haystack. Part two of that is that I can change my mind. If I get up and say, I'm having a bad day, or if I come into the holidays saying, I've always hated the holidays, I'm going to hate the holidays this year, I'm always going to hate the holidays, then you are. You just wrote your script, and you're the actor, the director, and the producer, and there it is. But whether it's a holiday season or any given day of the year, you get up, you have that mood going on that this day stinks, then you can change your mind. You can say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Or it feels really bad to feel really bad. So is there any positive action I can take to remedy this? Is there anything I can do about it to make it any different besides just sitting here ruminating? No? Okay. Maybe go on with something else. Let it go. If there is some positive action that I can take, maybe I should do it, take the action instead of just thinking about it so that I can move forward, let it go, and go on to the next thing. Life's too short to spend the amount of time I know that I spend, and I've heard a lot of you talk about, on certain issues that just don't need that much thought or consideration. They just need to be looked at, not stared at, and then released to the universe and we move on. Because at Christmas and every other time of year, I truly believe that God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. I don't think that God plans these bad things that happen to us, the bad things that have happened to many of us. I think God helps us get through those things and that he imparts a message to us through that process that we can carry back to others, like I'm trying to do here, and say that my life hasn't always been a bed of roses. And there's been a lot of very painful things that could have sent me off the rails and did for a while. Did, you know, sent me to a bad place for a while. I can change my mind. And it's about perception, how I choose to look at life, how I choose to look at you, how I choose to look at the world. And if I choose to look at it as it all stinks, then I've just created the world that stinks, and I'm going to live in it. But if I want to be of service to my fellows, if I know I have to give it away to keep it, and that I didn't survive because of my will, that's for sure. When given the chance, I wanted to move forward up to the spiritual plane. I took the step to go, come back. And so the fact that I'm here and that a lot of you are here meant that whether on a conscious level or not, we understand what the message is. And that's another thing. We can't stop and spend the rest of our life thinking about what the message was supposed to be, or evaluating how God thinks. Now, wouldn't that be grandiose of us to try to figure out how God thinks? Who knows? When we get there, we'll ask. But in the meantime, we don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about that. We just want to take action. We want to do the next right thing. And we know that when we do the next wrong thing, that we feel it. We feel it with the headache. We feel it with acid in the stomach. We feel it with not being able to sleep. Some of us have those problems anyway, but they're more so. You ever notice when you feel guilty or negative or any of those bad feelings that you start having not only emotional manifestations, but physical manifestations as well? And we're driving that bus. We're driving that bus with our perception and the way we choose to look at things, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. That's why I recognize it, by golly. Sorry, I just about choked to death on that one. but I'm being honest. So if I choke to death, somebody else take the mic. In any case, we have a choice. I guess that's what I wanted to say, is we have a choice. So no matter what's happened to us in the past, if we have one leg in the past and one leg in the future, we don't have a leg to stand on today. And today is the only day that we're guaranteed. And we're not even guaranteed that, but we're all here right now. So we're guaranteed in the moment. And I'd like to take what's left of Christmas, because 2013 is quickly in the books and going to be in the books. And I'm not even talking. You know, the other day I was at a meeting, people were already talking about New Year's and resolutions. And I said, for God's sake, I want to get through the next 48 hours. You know, do you mind? I don't do resolutions. And I don't know what we're going to be doing next Wednesday on New Year's Eve. Woohoo! I'll stop and get some noisemakers or something. And I want you all to get a party hat between now and then, one of those little paper party hats, maybe a noisemaker. And when it gets to be midnight in each time zone that we pass, I think I'm going to open the mics to that time zone and y'all yell Happy New Year and have your little noise devices and things. So we'll think of something fun to do next week. But for now, we're here. We're here in the moment now. And so I'm going to read you another quote. Christmas is a necessity. There has to be at least one day of the year to remind us that we're here for something else besides ourselves. That was by Eric Severide, CBS News journalist. Give you one more. At Christmas, all roads lead home. And whether that home is your home of origin or your home of peer-to-peer survivors or the home in your heart, that place in your heart where you feel okay. You know, the heart is, I don't know how much it weighs or what the size is. I'm not the scientist here in the group, but you take the heart like you take the pie, you know, and maybe part of that heart is broken and part of that heart has been beat up pretty bad. But we wouldn't still be here if there wasn't part of that heart that still has hope, that still has love to be given and wants love to be received. And it's that part of our heart, I think, that we bring in to the spirit of Christmas. So at Christmas time, all leads home. All roads lead home. And I think, not sure what she meant, but as I read it, I see home as being literal, figurative, or any place your perception is going to draw you that picture of home. So with that, I think what I'm going to do is take a quick break for a little tea. I'm going to catch up on the board. I apologize, you guys. I've been talking. I really didn't plan this show. They had some horrible difficulty last night on Blog Talk Radio. It looked like we were going to go south tonight, knock on wood. And so we're just going to do this. As you know, I normally always play indie artists because I was an indie author. I have chosen to play indie musicians, and I have a lot of those, but because I still have a little naughty to go with my nice, when it comes to two shows before the holidays, and I play some more mainstream musicians that are doing holiday music who are free, offering their stuff free on YouTube, and I'm not selling it, playing it free here, not making profit for it, then I'm guessing if somebody wants to come after me or a bunch of brain-injured people for 2 days before Christmas, that would make a hell of a story and really raise our profile. So I'm going to be playing a couple of songs from my wonderful indies tonight and from a couple of others, and we're just going to dare them, you know. Yeah, 2 days before Christmas, a group of people with brain injury certainly deny us this great holiday music because it would be a huge news story, and I'd love to write it. I have a story a little bit later that I wrote that has to do with a miracle that I am going to be reading you. But right now, since we were talking about the heart of, and again, I posted last week, so you guys probably can't find it now, but from YouTube, last year, I made a video card for my friends and family, and I posted it in Brain Injury Radio Facebook page and on my In a Flash Facebook page, TBI Survivor Network page, and I think that was about it, and it would have been probably in the last week's show. There's a picture of me and my dad, I think, is the first one that it shows with a little arrow. So if any of you are by YouTube by Facebook and you want to see the video that goes with this song, do. But this is one of my favorite songs. I have a lot of favorite holiday songs, but this is a favorite of mine because I think it, just what his title says, I think it captures the heart of Christmas, and that's what we were talking about. So got some other things we're going to talk about when I come back, but this is Matthew West with The Heart of Christmas. We'll be back in 4 minutes and 13 seconds.
I'm gonna make a wish this Christmas. I'm gonna say a little prayer. I'm gonna stop here for a moment before the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. The city streets and shopping malls. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can, cherish the moment, and the ones that you love, make sure they know it. And don't miss it, the heart of Christmas. Let's make it feel the way it used to. Let's find the wonder of a child. All around you, come on and open up your eyes. Well, you can find it in the warm embrace of your family, or calling up a long lost friend. You can even find it in the eyes of a stranger when you reach out a helping hand.
Christmas by Matthew West. Hope you enjoy that as much as me. And, you know, if you're looking for that video, I think it was after my show last Wednesday when I talked about it that I said I would post it the next day. And so if you are looking for that video on the Facebook pages of In a Flash Brain Injury Radio or TBI Survivor Network, it should be there last Thursday. Now, I was, I thought it was kind of funny, actually. I've said once that there's no such thing as original thought. I figured all the words have probably been used at this time. People make up new words, but they're talking about the same concepts from time to time. And we talk about politically correct and just change in vernacular and all of those kind of things. But concepts, feelings, I think those have been the same for a long time, a lot of generations. But I want to read you something funny that I found. First, I'm going to read you just real quick like what the intro to my show is every week for those of you who are new here and what we usually do, and then I want to tell you something funny. My show is called Recovery Now, not naughty or nice. That was our theme tonight, and you can think about some of your naughties and some of your nices, and I'll be taking some questions and callers in a while. But what I say normally every week, and this week too, as it turns out, this show is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics and survivors share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. Tune in, stop in, and call in. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Some nights we'll have a featured guest, and others will introduce a topic of recovery, encouraging callers to join us in the discussion. I'm your host, Kim Justice, author of In a Flash, Miracles Here and Beyond. If you want to know about me, you can find that information a lot of places, but at www.inaflash.org, I-N-A-F-L-A-S-H, inaflash.org. Now, the reason I read that tonight is not only to let newcomers know what the tempo of this show is usually about, but that paragraph, we focus on the four A's of recovery, and mine are awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. Obviously, I didn't make up those words, but I did make up, as far as I know, that sequence because it was a thought pattern that I learned as a tool of my recovery. First, I have to be aware that there's an issue. Then I have to accept that the issue is causing a problem in my life, whether it's in my head or with people around me. Then I need to take positive action to remedy that situation. And then I have to, and then I have to adapt to my new lifestyle and my new way of thinking and my new acceptance, my new reality. So awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. Now, the reason I told you that is I was laughing tonight before the show. I was looking around for some material just in case we actually stayed on air for the whole show, unlike last night. And I may have found another sponsor for us because I think they copied. This is the Mayo Clinic. And you guys have seen the intro to my show, which I wrote, whatever, a year and a half ago, whenever it was, 15 months ago. And this is an article dated in the last couple of days off the Mayo Clinic site. But before I talk about miracles, I'm going to talk about this side of it, because what we know about our lives in general after brain injury, and particularly around holidays, is that we're like an emotional ping pong ball, up and down, up and down, up and down. I guess we can be a flat ping pong ball for most of that if we have our mind made up to it, but for the most part, something's going to make us crack a smile through the holiday, no matter how grinchly we want to be, and vice versa. But their article, get this, need stress relief? Try the four A's. Interestingly, you heard mine. Don't know if you were taking notes, but two and two. Our last two are the same, and our first two are different. But I'm going to read this to you because it might help you. We still have some time between now and New Year's, and maybe a little emotional hangover from Thanksgiving to here that people are trying to reconcile. So, expand your stress management toolkit by mastering these four strategies for coping with stress. Avoid, alter, accept. Feel the effects of stress weighing us down. It's like lugging a backpack that's becoming heavier by the minute. Too much stress can make our journey through life difficult. Happy events, such as a wedding, as well as unhappy events, such as overwork, can cause stress. When your stress level exceeds your ability to cope, you need to restore the balance by reducing the stressors or increasing your ability to cope, or both. Try using one of the four A's: avoid, alter, accept, or adapt. Avoid. Believe it or not, you can simply avoid a lot of stress. Plan ahead. Rearrange your surroundings and reap the benefits of a lighter load. Within that category, take control of your surroundings. Is the traffic insane? Leave early for work or take the longer, less traveled route. Hate waiting in line at the corporate cafeteria? Pack your lunch and eat at your desk. Avoid people who bother you. If you have a coworker who causes your jaw to tense, put physical distance between the two of you. Sit far away at meetings or walk around his or her cubicle, even if it requires some extra steps. Obviously, they're talking about corporate. Hopefully, we can expand that into families, support groups, and all kinds of other contexts. Another in the avoid. Uh-oh, we talked about this before. Some of us just don't get it. Learn to say no. And I say, no is a complete sentence, somebody told me early in one of my recoveries. They say here, learn to say no. You have a lot of responsibilities and demands on your time. At a certain point, you cross the line between being charitable and being foolish. Turn down the neighborhood sports league. Pass on coaching t-ball. Those around you will appreciate more time with a relaxed you, and you'll have time to enjoy them, too. Ditch part of your list. Label your to-do list with A's, B's, and C's according to importance. On hectic days, scratch the C's from your list. However, some problems can't be avoided. Those situations, try another technique, alter. One of the most helpful things you can do during times of stress is to take inventory, change your situation for the better. Respectfully ask others to change their behavior and be willing to do the same. Small problems often create larger ones if they aren't resolved. If you're tired of being the butt of your wife's jokes at parties, ask her to leave you out of the comedy routine. In return, be willing to enjoy her other jokes and thank her for humoring you. Communicate your feelings openly. Remember to use I statements, as in, I feel frustrated by shorter deadlines and a heavier workload. Is there something we can do to balance things out? Manage your time better. Lump together similar tasks. Group your phone calls, car errands, and computer-related tasks. The reward of increased efficiency will be extra time. State limits in advance. Instead of stewing over a colleague's nonstop chatter, politely start the conversation with, "I've got only 5 minutes to cover this," and then stick to it. The next category is accept. Excuse me. Sometimes we have no choice but to accept things the way they are. For those times, try to talk with someone. You may not be able to change a frustrating situation, but that doesn't mean your feelings aren't legitimate. Phone or schedule a coffee break with an understanding tend your support group if it's available. Or come here to Brain Injury Radio. You'll feel better after talking it out. Forgive. It takes energy to be angry. Forgiving may take practice, but by doing so, you will free yourself from burning more negative energy. Why stew in your anger when you could shrug and move on? Practice positive self-talk. It's easy to lose objectivity when you're stressed. One negative thought can lead to another, and soon you've created a mental avalanche. Be positive. Instead of thinking, "I am horrible with money and will never be able to control my finances," try this. "I made a mistake with my money, but I'm resilient. I'll get through it." Learn from your mistakes. There is a value in recognizing a teachable moment. You can't change the fact that procrastination hurt your performance, but you can make sure you allot more time in the future. And last, adapt. Thinking you can't cope is one of the greatest stressors. That's why adapting, which often involves changing your standards or expectations, can be most help in dealing with stress. Adjust your standards. Do you need to vacuum and dust twice a week? Not at my house. Excuse me. Would macaroni and cheese be an unthinkable substitute for homemade lasagna? Not at my house. Redefine success and stop striving for perfection, and you may operate with a little less guilt and frustration. Practice thought stopping. Stop gloomy thoughts immediately. Refuse to replay a stressful situation as negative, and it may cease to be negative. Reframe the issue. Try looking at your situation from a new viewpoint. Instead of feeling frustrated that you're home with a sick child, look at it as an opportunity to bond, relax, and finish a load of laundry. Adopt a mantra. Create a saying such as this, "I can handle this," and mentally repeat it in tough situations. Now, one of them that I use is in that elongated or the short version of the Serenity Prayer, and that's sometimes my mantra is, "God grant me the serenity. God grant me the serenity." And I say that long enough and loud enough, and pretty soon I've worn myself out, and poof, God just granted me the serenity. Create an assets column. Imagine all of the things that bring you joy in life: vacation, children, pets. Then call on that list when you're stressed. It will put things into perspective and serve as a reminder of life's joys. Look at the big picture. Ask yourself, will this matter in a year or in 5 years? The answer is often no. Realizing this makes a stressful situation seem less overwhelming. Choosing the right technique Stressors, good and bad, are a part of everyday life. Practice applying these techniques to balance your stress equation. With practice, that once hefty backpack will become your private bag of tricks. Soon you'll be able to pull out just the tool that will keep you hiking through life at a steady clip. And again, that's from the Mayo Clinic, doing just a little bit of copying from Kim Justice at Brain Injury Radio. So hopefully you found some help in that if you've been under some stress, and we've got another week or so toward the end of the year, and then those of you that are projecting even further about where you're going in 2014, dial it back a tick. Let's stay in these moments a day at a time and practice the four A's, whether they're my four A's, Mayo's four A's, or make up four A's of your own. And now, it's cold here. I'm going to get some more green tea. Some of you know the megachurch. I love to say that. Megachurch in Australia. I really love these guys. And I like this version of the song. Me and Libby like to dance around the living room to it. That rap song I play about Omaha, where you come from? Where you come from? Omaha, Nebraska. I'll have to play my mix in a little while. I forgot. Craig gave me a new intro, so I didn't get to play my mix. Anyway, interestingly, I think children, people, and obviously pets. When I play that song on our big TV, that Omaha rap song, the dogs get agitated, and they start barking and yiping at each other and looking at the TV funny, and they're just jazzed when they hear that kind of music. They don't find it comforting. But for some reason, Libby, Mrs. Hyper Hannah, reminds me of a host or two around here. She says with love to the hosts and to her Libby, Libby likes to dance to this song because it has the opposite feeling for her and for me. So I hope you guys all enjoy Hillsong singing Come Let Us Adore Him. You've got about 6 minutes to kick back, relax, or grab your hot tea. And I see another user has logged in using this account, and I'm disconnected again, so I don't even know if you can hear me, but whoever logged in, please log out so I can try to get the studio back. This one doesn't happen to be a Blog Talk Radio problem. It's a user problem. Thanks so much.
Oh, come, oh, you. I think our host must have muted herself.
I think your host must have muted herself. I was just talking about how I really love that version of the song. Excuse me, Les, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. So I'm not sure where our host went again. So when she comes back, I guess it's a good thing I'm tagging along. I don't know where
she
is.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Hello?
You kind of disappeared. I don't know what... You're there. Can you... You got it?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. So I'm going to
put
myself back on mute.
Oh.
I'm glad I'm in the background tonight.
So am I.
Go for it.
Thanks. I've got yes and yes going. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Jenny, for the yes and yes. I'm sorry. I muted myself on the big panel, but then I didn't want to cause static on the song, so when I went to get the hot tea, I did it on my headset, too. So I should never mute myself in two places, because then look at all the mathematical calculations you have. It could be headset, studio, studio, headset, studio and headset, headset or studio. And those of you that know me really well know that, like, those kind of mathematical equations just send me over the, don't get it. Anyway, I am not going to mute myself again, gosh dang it. But I am going to tell you about some of there's so much good we do here. And in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you about a couple cool, if not miraculous, things that have to do with music and have to do with Brain Injury Radio. And in the meantime, if there's some things that you in the audience listening or on the board can think of that where Brain Injury Radio has made an impact in your life or in a cause, someone else's life, then I'll have you call and share some of those things in between music, in between the Christmas music tonight, because it will be the last night that we have Christmas music. Tomorrow I will dump it. We will have 2013 in the can, and so I do want to get the opportunity to play music tonight. But it's also a magical time, I think, to a lot of people, Christmas is, and, you know, the whole Santa gig and fairy dust and all of that business. And so I'm going to play you one more song, and then I'm going to come back and read you a story, and we'll talk a little bit more. So while I'm playing this song, which is a favorite to a lot of people, maybe you can think of some stories of your own. Think back over the last year and through hearing this song and enjoying it, and then I'll start you off. But this is, I was wanting Les to be here the other night, and he wasn't, because I wanted to tease him a little bit about a shortage of names over there in his neck of the woods. I call him our southern gentleman, and he lives, I believe, I always get these crossed up. He lives in Aiken, South Carolina, but apparently you can spit over into Aiken County, Georgia, which is like huge mungus. And I said, like, wow, they couldn't come up with two different names. They got like Aiken and Aiken right next door to each other in the same state already. And then he's got a buddy who's a singer. And I said, you know, did you ask the guy? His last name's Aiken. I can't think of his first name. I said, did you ask Aiken if those are his relatives? Those must be his relatives. I mean, with all that territory covered, being called Aiken, this singing dude's got to be one of the original Aikens. But Les Paul hasn't done that yet. And so this time we're going to listen to Clay Aiken, with a song I know that all of you know and like, and that is Mary, Do You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know?
A John sandwich right now. I uploaded a new song tonight. This one, that was all calm holiday music. I'm going to bring you up for a minute because we got a ways left in the show. Then I'm going to tell you the story I promised, and then I'm going to play you one more song. These two songs are not holiday songs unless you look at heart and feeling and fellowship and service and friendship, Christmas-like attributes. But this isn't your the Christmas carols you're used to listening to and not meant to be Christmas songs, but I'm going to give you a story to go with this. But I'm going to bring you upbeat just a little bit. And we're going to be talking about John Cruise in a couple minutes. And this is a song that, Jenny, if you're with your blankie in your bed and all you guys are so tired after 48 hours of that stress I was just reading about, if action number 3 on Mayo and Kim's list is one of the things you're willing to try, then you at least have to tap a toe or do a little chair dancing right now by my side. It was about 15, 20 years ago. You know how we lose track of time. It was a long time ago. I was in an Italian restaurant. That the restaurant was in the back, the bar was in the front. They had live bands. I was with some girlfriends eating, in the middle of eating, and I heard this song, and it blew me away. And I hear a lot of music. Think of all the places you go where you hear music in the background, and, you know, sometimes you recognize it, and you're humming along. But I heard a song I had never heard before and a voice I had never heard before, and I stood up in my girlfriend's mid-sentence and put down my fork and just walked as though I were in a trance out and looked up at this guy and listened to him sing this song, and it just pulled at my heart. And I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know who he was, but I got to know him. His name was John Cruise. His band at the time was called John Cruise Blues, and it must have been about, well, somewhere late 90s, like 99 or so, and a couple years later, he came out with his first CD, and then in 2003, he came out with the second CD, but by then, we had lost track of each other. I was out of the loop, and we just, you know, years go by. Sometimes you go down different roads. When I got on Brain Injury Radio and decided that I wanted to make the back half of my show indie musicians, I still had that one first CD with the song on it, and I wanted really badly to find him. And it was like looking for a needle in a haystack, and our city ain't that big, about a million people, but so it's not small town USA, But I was asking around, and, you know, I've lost track of all the hot spots and who the hot musicians are and just really old, out of the loop, I guess. And so Les Paul, I think, actually gave me the idea to go hang out at a music store, and I did. And one of the clerks turned me on to a guy who turned me on to another guy who finally turned me on to John. And he knew who I was right away when we hooked up on the phone, and I told him what I was doing, and at the time I just said a radio show. And we did a little catching up, and John's band had broken up and he hadn't been doing music for quite a while. And, you know, back at the beginning of 2000, the way that people did music was that they had to buy a certain amount of CDs, and so you would find a bunch of people, a bunch of musicians, and a lot of musicians go through what I call Yoko moments. When their band breaks up, it's about a girl who falls in love with the lead singer and decides she wants to become the band manager, and then everyone else in the band becomes resentful and splits, or it's about money, or it's about both. And a lot of talent gets lost in the shuffle through that particular phenomena that I've observed. John was back in the day where you had to buy, I don't know, however many, let's say a box of 1,000 CDs. And then you'd carry them around to your gigs and try to sell them and see if you could get them in the local music store. But that wasn't always so easy to do. And in any case, we were visiting, and he hadn't been in a band for a while and still had his music, you know, from back in 2001, 2003, that hadn't been listened to in all this time. And we're at 2013, so what, a decade plus? Nobody had been listening to his music. And then I happened to mention the name of the radio program that I do. And he paused. There was a moment of silence, and then he told me that not too long before my phone call, he had been diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. And in a minute, I'm going to read you a little article, some notes that I wrote that'll give you some background on John, but both of us believed that that was a God thing. And he told me I was more than welcome to use any of his music that I wanted on the program, that it was meant to heal. It went through a time, a few of these songs that I play on here a lot were cathartic times for him, where he had been going through some very challenging times, painful times in his life. And through the cathartic nature of writing his music and playing it, he spread healing to many. And if he could help us, he wanted to do that. Didn't want anything in return, was just so grateful that his music would even be being heard. And the fact that it would be being heard at Brain Injury Radio, of all places, when he had just gotten his diagnosis, was really an incredible thing. And so for the last year, I've been playing you music by John. And yeah, I see that. Thank you, Les. I've been playing a lot of music by John, but I've been really sad because there hasn't been any place for anybody to buy his music. I have been really blessed that people come to my show so they can hear his music because they love him, but his music has not been available. And what he said to me, old school, is, you know, he hasn't had the money, you know, to order another 1,000 CDs. He doesn't have a computer. And so, you know, he wasn't turned on to the 21st century of how they're selling music out there. Didn't know anything about it. And so I'm going to read you a little bit of a story, and then we'll talk a little bit more. There's some interesting things in here. For those of you that have read my book, there's some things I didn't know about John. I knew him in the context of the musician 20 years ago that I guess you could have called me a groupie. Whenever I knew he was playing, I would go because I just loved his music so much. And I loved to dance, and I could really dance to some of his music. And so I loved to go hear him over a couple-year period. I was there every time he was playing. And now, again, I probably will be. And as a matter of fact, I think he's got a gig on January 31st that I'm going to be going to hear. But there was a lot of things I didn't know about him in that context. And for those of you that read my book, you know that Boys Town is an integral part of something magical and miraculous that happens in my book. And I talk about that. And as the pictures scroll on my program page, you guys have seen there's an angel on there. And if you keep looking, there's some trees, a path of trees that are bare. It's the winter with frost, winter frost on them. And those two pictures were taken at Boys Town. And the angel in particular is in a part of Boys Town where people have bought bricks to commemorate children, babies who've been lost. And I took that picture of that angel a long time ago and was very moved. Boys Town is a very spiritual place for me where I feel serenity and connectedness. You guys have also, you know that I'm a patriot. I tell you that my husband's retired 20 years from the U.S. Air Force, and my dad's a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. So you guys have heard some things about me. So when I was talking to John, doing a little bit of an interview with him about a week or two ago, you can see why this whole story kind of blows you away. John Cruz was born in Omaha, Nebraska, one of a set of identical twins. When his brother was 1.5 years old, he was a victim of a terrible accident. The old high chairs were built of metal back then and not as well padded as they are today. The high chair tipped backward one evening, and the child's head hit the back of the high chair hard as the chair slammed to the floor. A bleeding aneurysm occurred from which the boy's life could not be spared, and he died. At age 10, John's dad passed away. At that time, he became a wild child, acting out in a delinquent fashion. Several years later, it was too much for his mom to handle without a male presence around. Finally, the court sent John to Boys Town, where he lived for about 3 years. While John wasn't born Catholic, and Boys Town does allow practice of other faiths, John loved to sneak into the Catholic Church to hear the famous Boys Town Choir singing in Latin. It was then, in that church, music first sent his spirit soaring into a whole new dimension. Boys Town always encouraged their residents to play instruments as well, so John credits his stay at Boys Town as being pivotal in being drawn to music, as well as helping turn his life around. He happened to have a great voice, and as it turns out, life gave him the experience to write with depth and heart about the blues. When he was 18, John joined the United States Marine Corps, where he was promptly deployed to Vietnam. He spent 14 months in Nam while the real Operation Rolling Thunder was happening. After 4 years in the Corps, his final station was in Hawaii at Pearl Harbor. He stayed for the next decade and played clubs all over the islands. John was first on his own playing acoustically and later formed a number of bands over the years, and he hasn't quit playing in some capacity since. John met Barbara, the love of his life, in the late 80s. A year or so later, they had their only daughter, Lindsay. When she was 3.5 years old, her mother unexpectedly died, details of which John prefers to keep private. John raised Lindsay on his own, always and still a devoted father. The intense feeling and sense of loss from that experience has been immortalized in songs like Sweet Tennessee and Palm of Your Hand. John suffered a life-threatening car accident along the way, in which he broke his neck. Spinal fusion surgery was performed on his C4 and C5. As a result, he was checked periodically when the fusion began dissolving. It was during one of those routine checkups in December 2011 that it was discovered John had a brain tumor. The inoperable hemangioma is located on his brain stem. It was determined by the VA where he was being treated that they would wait and see. At the time, he hadn't identified any symptoms, but it didn't take long for all of that to change. John was painting houses in the spring of 2012 when, while up on a ladder, he sensed he was about to pass out. With his former military training, he slid down the ladder with his feet on both sides just in time as he hit the ground and went unconscious. About this time, he started having symptoms of severe headaches and nausea. The VA chose to treat him with pain medication and other more benign options for the rest of 2012. By the beginning of 2013, tests revealed that John's tumor had grown and was now causing pressure on the nerve in his ear canal. By this time, he had had more frequent severe headaches, relentless nausea, gait disturbances, and a slew of other sudden symptoms. As the intensity of these symptoms escalated, it was determined that more aggressive treatment was called for in an attempt to slow the growth and remove some of the pressure. In April 2013, John underwent 25 radiation treatments. He was scheduled for several more, but chose to stop. The side effects brought him to his knees. He was thinking that if 25 hadn't covered it, another few weren't going to make a difference. And throughout that time, John was still painting houses to make ends meet while his medical bills were mounting. At that time and throughout the process, John turned to the strength of his faith. About that time, he ran into an old friend who turned him on to Semaruba, derived from a tree by the same name found in the rainforest. All elements of the tree, particularly the seeds, have had a long history of healing a number of ailments. For John, so far, ingesting Semaruba has eliminated all side effects that were major and has reduced the severe fatigue he experienced after the treatment. While the radiation wasn't meant to eliminate the tumor and other options are not available at this time, we pray that the growth remains halted and the pressure stays at bay for a very long time. Prayers are appreciated and encouraged. We believe miracles happen. In the meantime, John has written several new songs as he's undergone this game-changing time in his life and is hoping to release a new CD in 2014. John's former CDs were Hearts for Eyes in 2000 and King of Broken Hearts in 2003. He has credits opening for and playing with a number of blues icons such as the Holmes Brothers, Bernard Allison, the son of the great Luther Allison, a great blues player, Charlie Musselwhite, Shamika Copeland, the daughter of Johnny Copeland, another great blues player, Savoy Brown, Three Dog Night, Johnny Lang, Reggae Cowboys, Deborah Coleman, Eric Church, Indigenous, Paul Butterfield Blues Band, Blue Monday Radio Show, Walter Trout, Greg Piccolo, Carol in Wonderland, and Curtis Salgado. So, what we did, a group of us here at Brain Injury Radio and my husband, is made it possible for John to sell his songs and for you folks to be able to buy them, listen to them at your leisure, and help support John in his effort to cover these medical bills and be able to see what he said to me when he talked to me this morning, is that he feels like he's on borrowed time and he'd like to know that he's made a difference. And a group of us spent tirelessly a couple days trying to make that happen as a Christmas gift. And some of you will see that I typed into the chat room. John now has a Facebook page, a website, and his music is available to be heard and bought at Reverb Nation. So for those of you who are listening and not on the chat with us tonight, of course, if you're on Facebook, you know that that's www.facebook.com/JohnCruzBlues, and that's JohnCruzBlues. His website is www.johncruzblues.com. Same, JohnCruzBlues.com. And on Reverb Nation, that's www.reverbnation, that's reverbnation.com/JohnCruzBlues. So, he's arrived on the internet highway. It's Christmas. His daughter, Lindsay, is now 30. He has three grandbabies, and since it's Christmas, I want to send this song out to John and Lindsay, and it is an anthem to Lindsay's mom, John's wife. This is called Sweet Tennessee.
You can't stop the winds of change. You can't turn the sands of time. Doors they open up before your eyes. A brand new world for her to find. She's with the captain of her soul, sailing on a sea of life, taking her home. If I could just one more time bring her back to me, yeah. We need one more time in sweet Tennessee. I found myself, then I found love. It's kept me strong since you've been gone. We think about you every day. Our love for you lives on. She's with the captain of her soul, sailing on a sea of life, taking her home. If I could just one more time bring her back to me, yeah. We'd meet one more time in sweet Tennessee. You know our daughter grew up true and strong. You gave her the will to carry on. She's a life like you. And me, I just play in an old blues band, waiting at the station for the train to carry me home again. She's with the captain of her soul, sailing on a sea of life, taking her home. If I could just one more time bring her back to me, yeah. We'd meet one more time in sweet Tennessee.
Sweet Tennessee.
was John Cruise Blues with Sweet Tennessee. And God bless you, John and Lindsay. Merry Christmas to you. And for those of you out there listening, if you caught that Facebook.com/ John Cruise Blues, like him. It's the least we can do is like him. Let him know we like him. Maybe leave him a comment that you heard him on Brain Injury Radio tonight and you like and appreciate his music, and you'll be really excited to check it out. Also, go to that website, Reverb Nation. I typed that in there before, but I'm going to do it one more time because I think it got for just a minute. We all get typing so fast in here sometimes we get it broke. There we go. And you can listen to his other tunes on there. And I want to thank Craig most of all, and my husband Gary, and Les Paul, and me, and his daughter Lindsay, and some other people Craig had helping. It was a true chain of
love.
Like a jewel
John Cruise Blues. So I hope if you're on Facebook, you will go and like his page and just be in awe of the mountains that can be moved when we set our intent and our determination to help another. And with that, I'm going to unmute Les. And
wow, how can I say anything other than wow, Kim? You've done fantastic tonight. You probably see me type faster than I've probably ever type on here, because I just wanted to get the message out while you were speaking. So much volume and so much intense things about him. I could almost feel his pain, even though I know I couldn't possibly. As you were telling his story, as you were telling about how he has truly lived the blues. I mean, the man has suffered through so much, and he's a kind man. You've talked about him, how you went and watched him perform, and it's like I've known him all my life, even though I've never met him in person. I mean, he truly deserves America to get a bunch of people who are listening online tonight to come get on your computer and before you go to bed, because, you know, it just now here in South Carolina it's 12:16. It's no longer Christmas night, but in some parts of the world it's still Christmas night for that Christmas miracle to happen. And I'm going to post as many sites as I can to make sure that this man gets his music spread around the world. And you've worked so hard. And Craig, thank you so much for what you've done, because I say this on my show sometimes, and you've said it too. If we help just one person who is a survivor of brain injury and he has a brain tumor, sometimes if it's just one person we've helped in any way, I feel like we've done something very powerful, because one person was helped tonight, I'm hoping. I hope anybody out there listening to you tonight, and I really believe they did, really receive a message of kindness and of passion and care in your heart for the helping not just him, but people all around the world. And that's why Brain Injury Radio was created. And I really feel very honored to be your friend on Brain Injury Radio as a co-host, and Craig, the founder, for creating this, because this is the best stuff in the world, what you've been talking about tonight, because when you reach out and help another survivor who's struggling, that's that peer-to-peer support you're talking about. We're trying to support somebody else and help them lift up when he's down. And that's why we're here. And so I just say thank you so very much. I'm not going to keep going, but God bless you and God bless him and his family.
Yes, and God bless you and Craig and Gary and Art and everybody else who
I mean, I can
help.
Feel it in my chest right now. I started getting choked up while I was listening to that song. His life is literally in the palm, is in the palm of your hand right now. I mean, he's facing some tough times. This is an opportunity to help a man while he's down, to help get him lifted back up. America, what is America about? What is the world thinking? You know, we hear bad news. This could be a great news story of where brain injury survivors and people who are friends of brain injury survivors reached out and helped someone who's in desperate need for care and kindness. And that's what I think about all of us on here. When I found Brain Injury Radio, I was like a lost puppy looking for something, knowing there had to be something, trying to help others, not even looking for myself. And it wound up helping me. Isn't that how it wound up for you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Very much so. I think it's great. And when I talked to him yesterday, he was supposed to be going yesterday to Lindsay's, and he wasn't feeling very good. You know, it's pretty tough to go through all of that radiation and have to do manual labor and to pay your bills. And he's tough, you know. He's a Marine. You ain't going to see him crack. But I've known him. I've known him for a while now. Facing our mortality is tough.
I watched my coworker Peggy who passed away about 7 years ago, just weeks before my mother did. In fact, I visited both of them back and forth between two hospitals that were across the street from each other in Augusta, Georgia. And Peggy had to have a lot of chemotherapy herself. And I would go in this room, and she'd whisper to me, she said, "Do you notice how quiet it is in here?" I said, "Yes, I do." It was you could have dropped a pin and heard it across this entire large area. And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, "That's because nobody wants to talk to each other because they're afraid they're going to lose their friend." She said, "We lose a lot of friends here who have had cancer and chemotherapy and things." It made me think about that when you were talking about that, because we lost her, and she was a dear lady. She was in the civil rights movement. She worked at Walton Options, and she was in the independent living movement, and she was a warrior. She went to the Capitol and marched on the Capitol for people with disabilities and met with congressmen and legislators and met a lot of famous leaders, and yet I had to say goodbye to her. Let's hope that the very best can happen for John Cruz, and he can sing the blues, but in a happy way with a smile again.
I'm thinking so, you know, and I do believe in miracles, and this has really lifted him up. From the minute we started playing his music a year ago, it lifted him up. This has lifted him up. If he has to crawl into the studio with the new music he's written as he's been going through his brain journey, you know, if God is willing, he'll be doing it. But in the meantime, again, for everybody out there listening, if you want to hear more about John or leave him a comment, go to Reverb Nation, /John Cruz Blues, where I see he's number 4, and he's only been up for, 2 days, Craig?
That's pushing up to number one. Mm.
Yeah, his daughter was thrilled jumping up and down, and I did see that he looked too. He was just, he's been feeling a little poorly the last couple of days. When he talked to me the other day, he was talking about how brave we are here, because he's starting to feel the headaches and the lack of memory, you know, the forgetting things the nausea and the dizziness sometimes, and things that we talk about on the radio all the time. And he told us we're his heroes.
And that's what we think of him. I don't feel like a hero. I just feel like, wow, there's a guy that really, really deserves some help. And if we can do it, not trying to be proud or boast or anything, not trying to be special anything,
no,
but we're just trying to help. This is just out of an act of kindness to another human being that has seen a lot of tragedy. And, you know, I talked about it on one of my shows one time, turning tragedy into triumph. This would be an ultimate gift of tragedy to triumph, when you think about it, to see him get the help he needs and the funding and things, because he's a great guy.
Yeah, I think so, too. Craig, you're on the line.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, I did submit all of his music to anyone and everyone I could, radio stations. So we shall see. So the people on Reverb, they rated him really high. We'll see how he'll get on some radio, and next thing you know, he'll be rediscovered.
Wow.
That'd be cool.
He sure deserves it. What
Somebody
did you say
that
about radio
it.
Stations?
Yeah, well, tons of radio stations.
Oh, okay.
And we just need to get him discovered, since he's passionate about playing music, and it's kind of cool. I can do that for somebody that wants to do it.
That's right. And thank you so much, Craig. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting how we did this. We all do a different cog of the wheel. My husband does quick web page. We had like, by the time we decided, like good brain injury people, that we were going to make a football field long task get done in 48 hours with Craig leaving town and Christmas happening in that 48 hours, just like we do things around here, spent 49 hours getting this thing done, trying to get it done for Christmas. It's just, it's been a really awesome thing, and he was, he shed a tear or two yesterday, and said he was going to be on his knees in front of his Bible. Yeah, with gratitude.
Just knowing that you're trying to help somebody. You know, we hear all the bad news on television and things all the time. This is good news going out around the world that we're talking about. Brain injury survivors paying it forward for someone in need right now. He needs a little bit of a boost right now, actually a lot of a boost because he's been through so much himself. And when we got talking about it, I said, darn, I've got to spend some time working on this. And we all talked on the telephone for a long time, and we just made it happen. It's stuff dreams are made out of, miracles are made out of. It really is.
It is. And John will be a guest on the show, on that show I did on a Saturday called Surprise Party. Gosh, and I don't even know when that was. It was a Saturday night when I was subbing for Keith Anthony, but it was quite a while ago. We did a four-hour music extravaganza where all my indies, not all, but 98% of my indies with 24-hour notice showed up live, did a little bit of a backstory on their song, and just popped in and out for 4 hours and kept us going. And if we can find that date, or you guys look back in the archive for one called Surprise Party, John, because he was getting radiation at the time, he was one of my first guests on in the first half hour. So you wouldn't have to listen to the whole 4 hours if you want to try to find him. And I will be having him back for another show with me very soon. He wants to talk a little bit about that route that he was taking to help with the side effects, and thank us and tell him a little bit, you know, tell us some other things. But right now he's just real overwhelmed with the holidays and kind of rallying back from this radiation. And to be honest with you, all of this stuff is so new to him.
Yeah.
He thought getting back into music meant that he was going to be painting 50 hours a day so he could buy a box of CDs and try to sell them. So this is a brand new concept. It's got to be really overwhelming, but I can only imagine what it must have been like to be over at Lindsay's big screen that she can project her computer onto today and see his Facebook for the first time, his Reverb Nation for the first time, and his website for the first time, and know how he must have felt.
Wow, I bet it was mind-boggling for him.
I bet so, too. I bet so, too. Looks like I might have Jenny with her hand up, so I'm going to open you up. Jenny, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hi, sister.
Hey, sister, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Craig. Merry Christmas, Les. And
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Have you guys had a good day?
Absolutely, on my end.
Yep. Good day. How about you? You went to your dad's. Did you go with your dad?
Yes, I did. And this was very odd because I have severe anxiety disorder. And so leaving the house, just stepping outside the door, is terrifying to me most times. If I go on a 5-minute car ride to the grocery store once a month, I'm in high anxiety. I got up, I said a prayer before I went to sleep, and I actually, for the first time, because I usually, if I ask for something, I ask for somebody else. I don't ask for myself. But I asked for the strength to do it when I got up. And when I woke up, I reached over, grabbed my phone, and called my dad and said, yes, I'm going, come get me. Got up. And I went for 4 hours, not one bit of anxiety. I got to help make cookies. Of course, my portion was, you know, taking a little bit off a spoon and making a ball and putting it on a tray. I got to sit on the floor and look at a beautiful Christmas tree and a train running around and the ornaments like a little kid. And I got a hug from a woman who was in her 70s, who was a new friend, and I just loved it. And it was like having hugs from my pseudo-mom.
Wow. Well, I read that you were thinking about it and you were kind of waffling back and forth on whether you wanted to do it. And I just think that it is so great that you did. It just adds to the pedigree of growth
Absolutely.
That you've had this year. And I think it was important that you did that with family. I know everybody's got their issues with their family from time to time, but just like we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, we don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow, and if there's anything unresolved or anything we'd like to say, or that time, that memory that you made today that you'll be able to look back on someday, it's worth making that effort.
What was
and
so
I'm so glad that you did.
What was so amazing to me about it is because I have anxiety attacks with people I don't know, this other woman that I call my pseudo-mom was a complete stranger. But I didn't have any anxiety. And I spent 4 hours out of the house plus. And it was just absolutely amazing. And this morning, I looked out the window and I saw some children on a little tiny four-wheeler in the park across from me. I actually went, before I even got coffee, went outside my door on my porch and watched these children with their parents and family and grandparents watching them. And I waved and I gave them thumbs up and they gave me thumbs up back and I yelled out Merry Christmas out loud in the middle of everybody where everybody could hear me. And then I saw a neighbor who just came out of her porch, a little girl who I know, and she had a new bike, I could tell. And I said, you got a new bicycle for Christmas? So I got hugs from a child before I even came in an open presence. It was wonderful.
Oh,
wow,
that's
sounds like
great.
You had a beautiful one.
It is. I'm so glad that you got out and that you did it. So good for you. And I'm glad. And I'm sure it was very important to them, too, to your family, too.
It was better than ever opening the presents. And the funny part is, and this is a thing for brain injury survivors that's actually funny if you think about it around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I called my family and told them exactly what I wanted. I had forgotten what it was that I wanted. So I had no idea what my presents were going to be. And I realized after I opened them and was amazed, if I had gone ahead and closed the boxes up, walked out of the room and came back in, it would be new again. Because every time I walked by and saw these new things, I was like, wow, new stuff.
That's awesome. Probably been a while since you've had a Christmas like that too, huh?
This is my first cognitive aware Christmas ever in my whole life, because you know my whole life prior to 7 years ago was completely wiped out. So this is my first cognitive real Christmas with real memories, and it's been absolutely wonderful.
Great. Well, I'm
that
so happy
great.
To hear it. Very happy to hear it. Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to park you just for a second, you guys, and going to get a couple more Christmas carols in. We're on our last half hour. I do want to tell you just another quick miracle. You know, one time somebody questioned about the back half of my show and the musicians and what that had to do with brain injury, and hopefully the story I just told you will give you some indication of that. But even earlier, in that first net, the first time I cast the net, I got 6 artists. John was one, and a guy named Dale Hayes was the second. His band is called Garfan, GARFAN.com. And I'll give you his website. It's www.garfan.com. And his Facebook, if you happen to be on that, of course, you're already on facebook.com/GARFAN. Dale, again, another one who was more than willing to let us play any of the music we wanted to, and we have found out in the course of the conversation with him, who was just being a nice guy to a nice gal, who had a radio show and then happened to mention what it was. His wife, Deborah, had an aneurysm, as did I, and did not fare as well as I did, and has been in a nursing home the last 8 years. She, unfortunately, he was in that 2 seconds between having benefits and a job, and she got onto Medicaid, and that was where Craig and Les Paul taught me about the word threshold, and what that meant is she wasn't doing well enough soon enough for Medicaid. So they put her in a nursing home and discontinued her service. And as a result, she's not gone forward. She's gone backward. And over these 8 years, most of her family has stopped going to see her because they, quote unquote, can't stand to see her that way. Dale has stayed married to her, but he's getting older, and he was worried about final expenses. He wanted to make sure if something happened to him first that she was going to be provided for in terms of final expenses when her time comes, and that it would be nice. And he's been looking for a decade for insurance, and of course, she's uninsurable 99.9% of the places in the world because she's already in a nursing home and has her issues. But that was something we solved on Brain Injury Radio 2. I found him that policy. Deborah's insured. And whether Dale, no matter who is around longer than the other, Deborah's going to be provided for. However she's being provided for now, she's going to be provided for on her way to the hereafter. And that came from Brain Injury Radio. So there's the first casting of the net of the first 6 musicians. 2 out of the 6, we made a difference here on Brain Injury Radio for those people who came to help us. And so I think there's nothing more illuminating than the spirit of giving back in those examples, aside from the fact that I like music and I think it's therapeutic. There's a reason for everything, and sometimes I think you just have to have faith that that's the truth. So I'm going to be back in a minute. I'm going to play you something you guys will like if you have just a little holiday left in you for the rest of tonight or the rest of the week until New Year's. If you go to YouTube and look up The Piano Guys, it's thepianoguys.com. These guys kick booty. They've got some videos that are out of this world. And this is one of my favorites. I encourage you to check out. If you go to YouTube, you type in Piano Guys, Carol of the Bells, C-A-R-O-L. Piano Guys, Carol of the Bells. You'll really like the video, and then you'll be able to find others by them. But this is pretty awesome. that was okay. That is very odd, the way that they do that sometimes. Anyway, that's a great video. Piano guys, check it out on YouTube. They're all free. And I'm going to take just a couple minutes. As we were playing piano a little bit earlier, one of our own indie musicians referred me to another indie, and I'd be remiss if I didn't play a piece by him tonight. This CD is called For Every Day of Christmas. It's by Richard J. Putatori, P-U-T-O-R-T-I, and it's called Solo Piano. There are 12 cuts of traditional holiday music on here. He's a really sweet guy. Also was really glad to have his music here and share it with us over the holidays. And I'm going to play... Well, actually, I'm going to have you name this tune. Since it's piano, you aren't going to get the words. So we'll see who gets the rubber ducky. Maybe we'll make it a rubber Christmas tree tonight, Jenny. J. Putatori. I always like to make my mom's old Italian joke. She'd say, a nice Jewish boy. She'd do that about the Italians all the time because we're Italian. So you get the people that end in those vowels. Putatori. Richard, his CD is called For Every Day of Music, Solo Piano. And Jenny, usually I joke around, and when we have one of those guess and answer things, I say I'm going to give out a rubber ducky. And Jenny is outstanding at winning the trivia questions for the rubber ducky. I would say today has been a banner day for Jenny, getting together with Dad, celebrating Christmas, and that was Angels We Have Heard on High. So she wins the rubber Christmas tree for tonight. I'm going to open all your mics in 1 minute. I would be remiss if I didn't. We were doing the naughty nice thing. We've been nice tonight, and I just can't help myself. I'm afraid I'm going to have to be naughty. It's just in my nature for like 44 seconds. And let's see. We'll give out one more rubber Christmas tree tonight if you can guess where this host is from.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha,
plus nine. I'm sorry, one more time.
Where you come from? Where you come from? Where you come from? Omaha, Nebraska.
I got to tell you guys real quick that the little grand girls, 4 and 7, Aubrey and Jaden, it was kind of funny. They spent the night a couple of weeks ago. Some of you heard this story, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you anyway because you just heard it. But they were spending the night, and Gary and I put on the video. There's a video. If you type in, go to YouTube and type in Omaha Rap, you'll see these three guys come up, and you'll see the video that goes to anyway, the little girls looked on the big screen, and at first they looked a little aghast at this video, and then all of a sudden their goofy Nana and Papa, me and my husband, started rap dancing, and we were singing. And you know, little girls are very like sponges, little kids, you know, they're ready to learn.
I can just see that.
And so when we started dancing, you know, they started laughing, and then they're loosening up and they're not so freaked by this rap video blaring on the TV, because we're half deaf and we came from a generation where they had component stereo, so we were used to having the house vibrate. Kids don't do that these days. Anyway, I just found that out. But I was telling her, Jaden, teaching her, and then she taught Aubrey, and it was kind of funny. I said, okay, now this is just like school. You say three times, where you come from, where you come from, where you come from, Omaha, Nebraska. Now we done say it. Now we done say it. Now you all say it. Omaha, Nebraska. So I taught them three and three. Well, the parents had been out the night before. The kids were spending the night with us because the parents were out at an office party. And they were probably feeling a little rough the next day. And the girls sang that like 550 times from 10 in the morning when we dropped them off until the rest of the day when their parents couldn't wait to get back to work on Monday. And it was kind of funny, I thought, because I've been kind of a smarty, and I'm not going to go long down this road because we don't have a lot of time, but I believe we're in America where we speak English. And, you know, there's a lot of other, we can call our own government and have to press 1 or 2, depending on language. So it was funny because Gary's daughter, you know, gave us a little joking reprimand about teaching the girls rap. And I said, hey, if we're going to be in the true spirit of diversity and we have Dora, the Explorer, then we have White Mike and Flo Kane, the rappers, from here in Omaha. You want to be diverse, baby? We are diversity right here, right now. So anyway, that was a pretty fun story. Okay, you guys, mics are all open that had your hands up. We got about 20 minutes left in the show, unless you want to go to overtime at all.
You got 7 minutes. You got 7 minutes left.
We have about 7 minutes. Talk fast and go take a nap.
I just want to say, awesome show tonight, Kim. Awesome work, and thank you for all you do. And it just shows the purpose of Brain Injury Radio when you do a show like tonight. And that's all I'll say since you're so short on time. God bless you. Christmas is over here. It's not where Craig lives, and it's not where you live, but it's about to be, isn't it? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it is.
One final time.
According to Craig, in 7 minutes, it's over for me. So. Most of us are on the day after Christmas, but Craig, because you love Christmas so much, you get to have it for another hour. I think that's only fitting.
I want some of that.
You what?
I want some of that.
Sorry, you're on the East Coast.
You can have it all.
You gotta, Craig, don't you be naughty, or I'm going to put on Francis Jones to sing Silver Bells on the way out.
I'll make some funny sounds if you don't watch out.
Where's my toaster?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't.
Unless you're
going
to fix some toast. Or some Pop-Tarts.
Toast?
Something like that.
Everybody.
The radio.
Merry Christmas. I would just hope that everybody, when they go to bed tonight, thinks of just one thing that was today. It doesn't matter whatever else happened. Just think of one special thing that gave you joy or made you smile, and hug that as you go to sleep.
That sounds good, Jenny. That will be a good way to get good sleep, too, when we go to sleep with a positive thought on our mind and a lightness of being. I think we have a tendency to sleep better than when we're stirring the cauldron of our mind with the negativity and the fear and all of that. So I think that's a great suggestion to leave everybody with. And so I guess I'm going to start battening down the hatches. I'm going to close the show I was going to do Silver Bells for Craig, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to close the show in my usual way, and that's with something I believe that we all have, another indie artist. She was my very first when I made the trailer for my book, and thank you so much, Craig. Thank you so much, Jenny. Thank you so much, Les Paul, and everybody in the audience. I'll do a little other shout-out. Guest, Keith Anthony. Peaches, thank you for being here tonight. Hope you'll come back again. And the other guests, all of you out there listening, I appreciate your support. I want to thank my sponsor, Lash Publishing. Check them out at lapublishing.com. And thank you for your support of me and a Brain Injury Radio. And this is, again, something I believe we all have. And maybe this is one of those good thoughts Jenny was talking about you can go to bed with. Check out leahwest.com. That's LEAHWEST. www.leahwest.com. Or on Facebook. Again, you're at facebook.com/LEAHWEST. Something we all have, and that is a guardian angel. Good night, Merry post-Christmas, and God bless you all. We'll see you next week.
Little baby up in heaven says to God, do I really have it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you.
Higher than